I counsel and advise a lot of medical students who are thinking about OBGYN, and they still have this perception of OBGYN as a very difficult lifestyle. And it scares people away.
Dr. Vanessa Barnaby chairs the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University of Buffalo's Medical School, which trains and recruits physicians. In her 60s and with 35 years of experience, Barnaby is transitioning out of that position to concentrate on faculty development for the next 3 years, when she plans to retire. A large number of her colleagues are also planning to hang up their white coat.
What came out of that article is when they look at the age of the physicians in the community, they're anticipating significant phase of retirement in the next 5 to 10 years.
She's talking about a study by the Doximity Network, which claims 70% of all U.S. physicians as members, including more than 43,000 full-time board-certified OBGYNs.
There's been a lot of discussion about ensuring that women have appropriate access to OBGYNs, but there actually hasn't been good kind of hard numbers on what those disparities look like across the country.
Christopher Whaley is a policy research fellow at the RAND Corporation and professor at the University of California at Berkeley. He analyzed the numbers.
And so what we did in this study to help answer some of these questions was actually look at potential areas of shortages of OBGYN.
Whaley says the shortage facing Buffalo ranked the city number 6 in the country after the much larger cities of Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, Miami, Riverside, California, and Los Angeles.
In Buffalo, we found that about 40% of OBGYNs are above age 55. That's saying within kind of that, you know, rough 10-year timeline, you may have 40% of the current OBGYNs in Buffalo leaving the market due to retirement.
If 40% of local OBGYNs retire at one time, there will not be enough new doctors entering practice to fill the gap.
The biggest pool of OBGYNs that we have is from our own training program. And right now we train 8 per year, so we typically have 2 to 4 of those people staying in the community.
Add to that lower overall salaries than other specialties, plus already low reimbursement rates for OBGYN services have not changed in years.
OB care is set as a global fee, so no matter how many visits the patient has, no matter how much time you put into her care, you're only going to get paid the same amount.
With 30% of the population living in poverty, Buffalo women are already underserved compared to their suburban sisters.
The women who live in the city don't have the same access to like a private OBGYN as women in the community. And so most of the big OB groups are in the suburbs. Plus, it's a very high-risk population, so it's a challenge taking care of these patients. They have, obviously, a lot of social transportation challenges and all that kind of stuff. So getting docs to take care of those patients is a challenge.
The variations that we highlight have real implications for patients and for women. If you're in a market where, say, OBGYNs are overburdened, then there's a possibility that you as a patient may not get the same level or attention to care as women in other cities. Or you may not get your best choice because that OBGYN may be booked up.
Marion Heatherly, WBFO News.